This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is the Back to School series, our annual look at education around Douglas County. And we take a look at the Douglas Education Service District this afternoon. Superintendent Annalicia Nicholson, thanks for coming in.
Hi, thank you, Kyle.
So, how long have you been at ESD?
I think this is my 17th year.
17th year, so you have just kind of moved all the way through.
Yeah. So I started teaching at a district in Douglas County, and then I moved to Douglas ESD and have been there ever since.
So a lot of people don't always know if they don't have kids or kids currently or whatever. You talk about ESD, and people say, what's the ESD? What's their role in serving the community?
Yeah, so we are an education service district. We are one of 19 in the state of Oregon, and they look differently across the country. And our role is to provide high-quality, cost-effective, and locally responsive education services at the regional level to our 13 component school districts. So in this county, that's everybody except for Reedsport. Reedsport is a little closer to than ESD on the coast. So we have 13 great school districts, so proud to serve and work alongside them.
And is the idea, because a lot of these school districts are smaller, that some of these support services, some of these kind of behind the, outside of the classroom things, are easier to staff and do this way?
Yeah, so we have what's called a local service plan, and our 13 component school districts in the Douglas ESD collaborate to co-create that plan. And our plan consists mostly of services for higher needs or higher needs that kids may have. So speech services, orthopedic and physical therapy services. So yes, a small school district may not have the need for a full-time, half-time, or even like one day a week. And so we use our funding to hire those individuals and then deploy them throughout the county.
So are some of these folks then working in more than one district at a time?
Yes.
And so that kind of adds in, I mean, do they stay in one part of the county or do some of them go all over?
It just depends on the program. So some programs are more regionalized in their service delivery. And other programs, we may only have one or two people serving the entire county.
And as well, though, you do some things outside the county, right?
Yeah. So we have early learning programs that we've added to our portfolio over the years. And so we have services, we have special education services for 0 to 5-year-olds in both Douglas and Jackson County. And then our parent hub and our early learning hub serve Klamath and Lake, along with our child care resource and referral program.
Now, you seem to put a lot of focus on helping families with younger children. Kind of go through some of the services you have.
Yeah, so as we have about 50 programs at Douglas ESD, and quite a few of them focus on early learning activities to support 0 to 5-year-olds in our community. So we have what's called the Early Intervention, Early Childhood Special Education Program for 0 to 5-year-olds. And so we do screening and eligibility for kids to receive special education and really provide early intervention before they become K-12 students. We also have the Take Root Parenting Hub, which is a free parenting resource in Douglas County and offers free workshops and free parenting series. And we also have a parenting resource center at our Stevens building. And then we have a couple other programs through our South Central Early Learning Hub. They help with preschool promise enrollment, which is free preschool for families that are eligible. And then also we have what's called Community Uplift, which connects parents with local partners through a referral system.
Now, how long has this preschool promise been around?
Ooh, that's a great question. I want to say 5+ years. It's been around. It's been slowly growing in the state of Oregon. So it's a way for families who meet financial eligibility requirements to get preschool, either in our public K-12 setting or in private providers.
So why do you think early learning, I mean, why is that such a big focus?
Well, because it's the foundation. And if kids have a solid foundation, we know that a lot of the brain is forming between the age 0 to 3. And so if we can offer families and children the resources and support they need, it leads to better outcomes in school and really just in life.
So you feel like then sometimes without these, you really change the long-term trajectory?
Yeah, I think we would see more families and kids struggling without these resources in our community.
Now, supporting school districts, let's talk more about that. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of give us specifics about how you do that, how many you serve?
Yeah, so as I shared, we have 13 component school districts in our region, which is about 13,000 students that just went back to school. So thanks for celebrating their return. And so our local service plan is comprised of for a few areas. So special education support is the largest service area that we provide, and that's speech services, support with autism, OTPT services, really just to help kids with their learning goals. We also offer nursing and behavioral health services. Another role that we play in school districts is just supporting educators with their needs, supporting schools with technical assistance. When we just finished a long session, there's lots of new laws. We help school districts with the implementation of that. And we also offer teacher mentors, youth development mentors for kids to get them re-engaged in school and keep them connected in graduating.
And what about the technology part?
Yeah, so part of our plan is to provide technology across the 13 school districts. So we do network services. And then in addition to that, we also support especially our smaller school districts with human resources, business services, communications, all of those sorts of fun things that are operational in school districts.
So again, something that's more specialized, and it would be harder maybe for a smaller district to try mm-hmm. to find somebody to do that.
Yeah. So through a consortium strategy, we're able to really support school districts in what they need to be doing, which is and what they do best, which is educating our kids.
And one of the things that it seems like you're doing more of with helping districts ties to mental health.
Yes. Yeah. So mental and behavioral health across the nation has been an area of concern on the rise. And so we do what we can to link school districts to community partners and services and getting that support to kids.
So for an education service district, when did this whole idea begin of ESDs?
Yeah, well, for the history buffs, we've been around for a really long time. It goes back to the first sort of inkling of a regional education system was about 1862. There was a county superintendent who was in charge of helping all of the districts with textbooks and facilities and hiring teachers and managing funds. The more modern era started about 1963. At that time, we were called intermediate education districts. Services were kind of similar to 1862, but we did central purchasing, library, curriculum materials. But what got added into there is special education services. And in 1977 is when we officially became ESDs. And those who know their major federal laws, that was about the time IDEA, the Special Education Act, and the Elementary Secondary Schools Acts were passed, and so we played a role in helping districts support kids with those laws.
Amazing that you talk about going back to the 1800s, mm-hmm. and I'm just trying to picture Oregon at that point and what schools would have possibly been like.
Yeah, well, I imagine probably in this area, one-room schoolhouses with multiple grade levels, so very different than what it looks like now.
Wow. All right, we're going to take a break more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. And Alicia Nicholson of the Douglas Education Service District, the superintendent, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1 o'clock. We wrap up our back-to-school series tomorrow. Dr. Rachel Pockrat of Umpqua Community College. And Alicia Nicholson of the Douglas Education Service District in here this afternoon talking about the work that they do, not only working with kids, but some community-related services that you guys offer as well. Talk about that.
Yeah, we've had some opportunities through some philanthropic funding to work with the community. There's been some groups of business and industry partners who really wanted to support their employees with family-friendly practices. And so we have a program that works alongside business and industry and what they can do given their working conditions to support especially 0 to 5 year olds and families with 0 to 5 year olds. We have what's called Care Connections and Education, which is our child care resource and referral, which supports our child care providers in our community with licensing and professional learning and the things that they need to be successful in their role. And then the other thing we do is we partner, we help facilitate partnerships to strengthen career pathways for students and connecting them into real world learning opportunities. And we're really grateful to our industry partners for that as well.
And again, for some of the smaller rural districts, probably the help that you're able to provide really kind of paves the way for more of that versus, you know, in a smaller area where it might be harder to kind of put those things together.
Yeah. You know, I think kids want access to all opportunities, and if you're living in a small rural community in our county, and you want to be a vet, how do we get kids connected to a vet in a neighboring community that may not exist in the community that they live in? Would be an example of that.
So for the people in the looking at tax forms and accounting and fund financial things. I mean, a lot of people understand how school districts largely operate, but what about ESD? It sounds like a little more complex when it comes to funding.
Yeah, so we receive funding from the federal, state, and then, as I share, grant resources, both in grants and contracts. We are a part of the state school fund, and those funds are what help us deliver our local service plan to the school districts. And then a large portion of our funding is EIECSE, early intervention and early childhood special education, which is a mixture of state and federal funding. So a lot of the programs we offer are funds that have been blended in order to administer the full program.
So having those many, so many funding sources, not only has got to be a lot of work for somebody to keep track of, but I mean, you really have to stay on top of it because that's very complex.
Yeah. We've got a great business office who helps all of our program and our program managers make very good use of these dollars and make sure that they get to kids and the outcomes and the goals of the program that are needed. So, yeah, it's we've got really smart people helping us make sure that all of that happens.
So for the Douglas ESD, how many staff that you have and how many locations are you physically in here in Roseburg?
So we have just over 300 staff members. We have staff throughout every school district building in our community. And then we also have, we ourselves have a building, two buildings. We share a space with the library. As well, and so we're in a well over, I think, 50 buildings in this community.
So it's not like a typical job where you might come in to work and then go out to work like at a school. You're actually, your job is being at that school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for our staff that are district serving, they start and end their days in school districts. We definitely have staff who are in and out of like our home office buildings as well. But yeah, we have staff with lots of different working environments and experiences.
So as you look ahead, what kind of priorities do you have for ESD?
I think our priorities continue to be related to the goals of ESD, which is high quality, equitable, cost-effective, locally responsive services. And I think if you look at our organization, we look at the data, we listen and respond to the needs of the community, and then we provide whatever that thing is. So if it's behavioral health in a high-quality, cost-effective way to our local school districts.
So in the time you've been at ESD, how has everything kind of shifted and changed?
I would say I think we have a stronger focus on early learning, which is great, to give those kids those solid foundation. Technology has definitely changed in the types of tools that we use, but also just the network services and what it takes, because all of these phones and things all require a network. Behavioral health has become a higher priority in our community, in our schools, and so that's a way that we've expanded, both in just providing mental and behavioral health supports, but also helping kids build stronger connections to through our youth mentorship programs.
Now, I know one of the issues in education for, well, really since the pandemic and maybe even before that, is not as many people are going into education mm-hmm. through sort of the traditional four-year college, et cetera. What do you say about people that have thought about that in the past, but maybe been reluctant to jump into education?
Come. It's a wonderful career. It's super rewarding. As a former teacher myself, there's nothing better than spending your day with kids and watching them learn and watching those aha moments happen, building relationships and getting to connect with kids. I think kids are just the most valuable resource in our community, and being a person who gets to be alongside them for 13 years of their journey is, to me, just a wonderful job opportunity.
What about areas in education that maybe aren't teaching? I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of other options there, too.
Yeah, so at the ESD, we actually have a lot of folks who you would traditionally see in the medical industry. We have speech-language pathologists. We have orthopedic and physical therapists. We have mental health specialists. And they're all supporting kids with their educational goals, but they're using their unique skill set to do that. And what's cool about the ESD is if you like working with babies, you can be an OT or a PT or an SLP and support babies and two-year-olds and three-year-olds or all the way up to an 18-year-old.
So we've seen a lot of shifts in federal funding, funding going to states and all of that in the last year or so. Does that give you any concern about maintaining the funding for all these sources, services that you provide?
Yeah, I think as someone who's been operating federal programs for well over a decade, the funding allocations is always a concern and always on my mind. I always remain vigilant about what the funding's going to look like for our kids, our community, how the priorities might be shifting around that, and then what can we do to make investments how we need to in our community with those funds. So it's always on my mind.
And obviously, if there are some changes, that may end up leading to changes that you have to make, at least for a period of time.
Yeah. I think education is constantly moving and being flexible and changing to the needs of the priorities of state and federal government, and also mostly just the priorities of our kids.
Now, if somebody wanted to kind of get more about what we've touched on today about what ESD offers, how do they do that?
Yeah, check us out at our website, www.douglasesd.k12.or.us. And all of our service offerings are there, both the programs that are free to eligible families and also the programs that we're providing in schools.
And what do you think is the best thing about your job?
That I get to be part of a system to make education work better for families and kids in our community, and ultimately, as I shared, get to watch the most valuable resource we have in our community grow and learn and eventually give back to our community.
And Alicia Nicholson, Superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.